believe that almost everyone here played at least one time in your life hide and seek. I know that. And I can look back years ago in Brazil when, me too, I played hide and seek with Elizabeth and Isa, our kids. And they were about 5 and 7 years old, 4 and 6 years old. And I remember me in our apartment there, and I went to behind a door or something else, and we start to play. But sometimes what happened, and maybe happened with you then, is the kids take too long to find you. And what you did? So you start to make noises. Maybe the whistle, the family whistle. So they can't, oh, what's that? Or sometimes I just say, I left something outside so they can find me. The question is, why I did it? Why I did it? It's because my greatest joy was not to be not found, don't be found. But my great joy was to see their face when they found me. Like me, God won't be found for you. He tried to call your attention. He tried to make you closer and closer to Him. And He keep in trying, like me. Hey, I'm here. Come closer. You're warm. Warmer. We begin 2015 with a great challenge to learn how to listen to God's voice, how to sense His presence in our day-to-day lives. We're changing to make space in our lives to listen to God, to be close to Him. And before we give some example of spiritual discipline that will help us to listen to God, to worship Him, to feel His presence, we take a look, just one verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. So if you have your Bible here, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It's just one verse. Romans, verse 12, verse 1. Maybe you know in your head already. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Let's break this verse together. Therefore, Romans 12:1 began with the word therefore. This word is very important. What Paul is saying here is that everything that Paul will say from chapter 12 to chapter 16, it's all thing depends what you heard or what you read from chapter 1 to chapter 11. It's a turning point for this letter. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, therefore, look back everything I wrote from chapter 1 to chapter 11, because everything I wrote, now you can do what you say now from the chapter 12 to chapter 16. I urge you, brothers and sisters, Paul is not rebuking or rebuking or reprimanding his audience, but he is strongly recommending to do something. And remember, Paul is writing not for people who does not believe in God. He is writing for believers. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, we are here, we have what we have today because God's mercy. We are what we are today because God's mercy. And what Paul is saying here is, look back from these first chapters. What Paul showed us about God's mercy. Because of God's mercy, we have freedom from sin. Romans 6, 16 to 18. Because of God's mercy, we have the gift of eternal life. Romans 6, 23. Because of God's mercy, we have peace with God. Romans 5, verse 1. Because of God's mercy, we have access to grace of God. Romans 5, 2. Because of God's mercy, we have saved from the wrath of God. Everything! Because of God's mercy. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing God. This is your true and proper worship. What Paul is talking about? Living sacrifice? A living sacrifice is a life of a believer who died for his sin and now is living to God through faith in Jesus Christ and power of the Holy Spirit. I'll come back again. A living sacrifice is a life of a believer who died for his sin and now is living to God through faith in Jesus Christ and power through the Holy Spirit. God is inviting me and you today by day. Do you know when you wake up in the morning? Maybe you look for the mirror. You don't like what you see. But what God is saying is, from that moment, you are saying, God, my life is yours. I give you this day for you. It's you. He doesn't want what you have because he has everything. But he wants you. It's a living sacrifice. Every day. Do you know why we can do this? Why you can give a holy, a pleasant, we can please in God through our lives? It's not because of ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5 says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It's everything about Jesus. We can be this holy sacrifice, not because of ourselves, but because Jesus did. This is great news. This is what Paul is talking about. Look back. You are justified by God, by faith. We're saved. Now you are children of God. We were separate. Now, no. We can walk day by day with God. He's our Father. I don't know about you. But this is a wonderful truth. He is our Father. He walks. We can have a deep relationship with God. One pastor was walking on the street and he saw a man on a wheelchair. And he came close to him, he started to talk. And later, he invited this man that was in without legs because he suffered a car accident. And he invited him to go to the church. And this man said to the pastor, what God wants with a half man? What God wants with a half man? So the pastor looked in his eyes. He said, God has more pleasure in a half man who offers himself entirely to God, to him, than one whole man then offer only half. This is what it is all about. God wants me whole with me to him. God wants you whole of you. And he still make noises. He's still calling you. He still show himself. Call your attention. There is a Brazilian worship song that says, if it's not to worship you, why was I born? If it's not to serve you, why am I here? Yes, I want to worship you. Worship you, Lord. I am here. I don't know about you, but when I was a teenager, a long time ago, I made this question. Sometimes alone, I say, God, why am I here? Why am I here? What is life is all about? I didn't understand. And always I felt like there is an emptiness. Something was missing in my life. Something was missing. Only when I understood the gospel, when I believed that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins, and I received him as my Lord and Savior, only this time I could understand why I'm here. I'm here to worship him. I'm here to serve him. I'm here to enjoy his presence. If you still don't understand this fact in your life, you're still totally without clue. This is why you're here. This is why maybe you're still feeling that something is missing. Because you are here to worship. You are here to serve him. You are here to enjoy his presence. You are here to enjoy, to feel heaven already here. You don't need to die to feel the heaven. You can have the heaven experience here already. But for that, you need to give whole of you to him. You cannot hold anything for yourself. You can offer, and I don't say, you see, okay, when I'll be perfect, I'll do this. You'll never be perfect here. Because the sinful nature is still in us. Paul said, I remember only in Portuguese now, but you understand where Paul said, I punch myself, my body, because the good thing I want to do, I don't do. But the bad thing I don't want to do, I do. How? This was Paul, was not me. It was Paul. If Paul said that, if him, it's not be about perfect. It's about have a good heart, a true heart, open, recognize God, this is what I am. Help me day by day to push my body, my sinful nature, put down, and help me, God. I want to be closer and closer to you.
This is what it's all about.
So, if I can use the Paul word, therefore now that you know that because God's mercy, we have freedom from sin, the gift of eternal life, peace with God, access to grace of God, and we are saved from the wrath of God. Therefore, now that we know that we are created to worship God, therefore, now that we know that we should offer your whole life as a living sacrifice, what are the spiritual disciplines can help us to worship Him, to feel His presence, to enjoy the God's presence? What the spiritual disciplines? We have many, many, many spiritual disciplines. I will give just some examples here. Celebration, gratitude, Holy Communion, Rule for Life, Sabbath, worship. It's many, and more than that. And we can find in these books a lot. And today we'll take a look only three. And please, the first discipline we see today is the discipline of celebration. I heard when I was really in the beginning of my Christian life that God was Brazilian. And now I know why. Because God is a God of celebration. And we love celebrating. So God invented the delight, the joy, the celebration. And we have many ways to go into God's presence. In one way, I say again, we have many ways to go in the God's presence. But in one way, it's through celebration. God loved them. This celebration can be solemn or not. Could be formal or spontaneous. Celebrating God does not depend on perfect circumstances or happy events. I wrote here, so Paul and Silas, they were in prison. They were in prison, they started to sing. Imagine, they were in prison, in jail, and they started to think to God, celebrating God. God is the goal of our celebration, not ourselves. Set your eyes on God as you celebrate and forget how you look. I had this experience already, so I can share. Sometimes I'm in a church and the worship starts and I feel my heart, okay, I want to raise my hand or I want to bow my knees and I take a look at the right side, the left side, nobody's doing that. So I say, oh, I'm not doing this. People look at me and say, oh, this is a Pentecostal, charismatic, or something like this. Yeah. Why I did this? Because my eyes was not in God. My eyes was in my neighbor. This is fair. Is it fair? No. I don't ask here for everyone jumping, but it's not about that. But it's the point here is remember you are here to worship God, to please Him, and not yourself or your neighbor. Amen, Patricia. Amen. The another thing here, just an example, very, very, very strong example. So 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 20. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servant as any vulgar fellow would." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father anyone from his house, Wayne was not here, but just for anyone from his house, and he appoint me ruler of the Lord people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than they, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But this slave girl we spoke of, I will be held in honor. Just if you don't remember what's happened here, is the Ark of God was, David was bringing the Ark of God to his city. And during the way, he was so afraid that he left the Ark in a house. And after a while, I don't remember if it was 3 months, God blessed so much that house that David said, no, just you can pick up the ark and bring it for the city. And on the way, he was so happy. He was so happy. Every 6 steps, one bull was killed and one fat calf was sacrificed to God. Every 6 steps. Because it was so... And he started to dancing. He started to dancing in God's presence. This is the picture here. Do you know? You read it? Her wife look him. Look that man. You are a king. You are a king. What are you doing? And he said, I'm dancing. I'm celebrating my God. And I don't care who is beside me. Because I am in the God's presence. I am in the presence who chose me instead of your father. This is the time. And she, this is why. Celebrate. Wow, celebrate. So just take a look at some scripture here to help understand more about celebration. Look at this verse. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. It's amazing. It's celebration. God is celebrating you. And you can celebrate God. It's amazing. I don't know how to say the name of the book. It's Zephaniah. Yeah, right. Zephaniah 3:17. Psalm 16. I will praise the Lord who comforts me. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also you rest secure. You have made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence. With eternal pleasure, your right hand. Clap your hands, all your nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome. The great King of all earth. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your work are wonderful. I know that full well. Just some question for you. Where are you most prone to celebrate God? Alone? With others? In worship? In music? In nature? When you see others celebrate God in a way that you is new or foreign to you, what goes in your mind, your heart? Why I made this question is because there is not only one place to celebrate God. There is not only one way. For some people, like to celebrate God alone. For some people, like nudie. Like people around. For some people like go to the mountain and celebrate. Just do that. There is not only way. What you feel when you are here and somebody raise their hands to worship God? You look. Or some people bow your knees. Just don't look. Close your eyes. If you are looking who was doing something beside you, it's because you are not paying attention to God. So just focus on God.
doesn't matter where you're going.
It's your heart. This is the point. So identify spiritual exercise, identify a place in the way. Maybe celebration could be invite brother and sister to your house and do a party for God. Read some text and celebrate. Sing songs together. It's celebrate to God. It's many ways. It's serving, worship, working, sharing meals, dancing. It's something you do to God. This is the point. Okay? So, intentionally place yourself in the presence of God. Recall all God's gifts and just celebrate Him. Remember what Zephaniah 3:17 says. God celebrates to you. Another discipline is the discipline of gratitude. Thanksgiving is possible not because everything goes well, but because God is present. Thanksgiving is possible not because everything goes well, but because God is present. I know it's hard to be grateful when the things are difficult. I told you guys already, my friend who died 1 month ago, and her wife, Artemis, post on Facebook and how she was grateful because 15 days before her husband died, he and her and a daughter went to Europe and they spent a wonderful time together. She just lost her husband. But she was praising God and saying, God, thank you, because you gave me the opportunity to have a wonderful time with Him. So, even when you are in a very difficult time, you can make a discipline to take a look. Yeah, I know you will find many reasons to be grateful to God. You can just take a look around, and you find. It's a discipline. Some scriptures here. Give thanks to the Lord for His good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and petitions. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. Reflect the question, how often do you have shown gratitude to God and others? How often? How are you addicted to criticism? Is it easy for you to make critics for people? Try to say thank you. To see in a different way. So, some practical exercise. Begin a gratitude journal. I told you, I think last week, every year we have a book, a notebook, every year from 1999, every year we stop in the end of the year, and I and Andrea, we remember things that God has done during the year. And we pray and say, God, thank you for that every year. So it's a good exercise. Buy a book and try every year to write how God blessed you. In the end of the year, just look back. And you see how amazing. 10 years later, you can look back. You see how many things God has done for your life. And every day, your life, every day, say thank you, God, for at least one thing. So before you sleep, stop and say, God, thank you for this. Every day. Write a letter to thank someone who taught your life. Maybe a teacher. Maybe a family. Remember somebody who really taught your life. Write a letter. Say thank you. For some people, I don't know. It's hard to say thank you. Recognize. It's a discipline. So if Somebody do something. Thank you very much. Thank you. This is a great. Express gratitude to others. Prayers and songs that focus on God's generosity to us. Try to find worship songs and sing in worship. The third and last one, the discipline of worship. The heart of worship is to seek to know and love God in our own unique way. Each one of us love and glorify God in a particular way that not one else can. We have many styles of worship. We have traditional. We have modern, contemporary. Every kind of music is to worship God. But for someone, you think, oh, this I know because I'm a Presbyterian pastor from Brazil. So when I'm there, for some, if it's hymns, just to get example, it's hymns. And three hymns. When you finish, there is a more contemporary music. Okay? And so during the hymns, the young generation stay quiet. Only the old one sing. Or at least looks like, or the young generation just is like a fish. No sound. But when change for more contemporary, the old generation, this, no. No. Why I'm talking about this? It's not all songs we pray, we sing here to God. You sing only what you like. So it's about you or it's about God? So if it's traditional, I sing with all my heart. But if it's more rhythm, not so much. No. It's about you or it's about God? What's about Jesus? So think about that before you sleep today. So for young generation, if you have a hymn here, open your mouth and think, because the same God is for the hymn, is the same God you worship in a contemporary music. Okay. So the quality of our worship does not depend on worship style, but from the heart and its folk. This is scripture. You are worth our Lord and God to receive glory and honor and power, for you create all things, and by your will they will create and have their being. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. God is spirit. And his worship must worship in spirit and truth. Therefore, since we are receiving the kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Reflection question. How did a particular style of worship, charismatic, traditional, contemporary, liturgical, shape you in your inner image of God? How does a particular form of style of worship shape you now? Who is God to you? What name for God? Shepherd, Lord, Father. So when you go to the God's presence, how you? It's a question for you personally. How you see God? How you call him? Father? Lord? For me? The word Father is stronger. This because my whole history, my background with my father. For me, it's so good to know that God is my Father.
A father who never makes mistake. This is my father. And when I go for his presence, I go with the spirit of worship, with thankful, because I know him and he is my father. Maybe you have trouble with your father. In him, you can find a perfect father. You can be close to him. You can know him. And he will take care of you. Maybe be like God, the Lord. So go and call him as you feel connect to him. Because I will connect to him in different way than you. Because we are different. You are not be connect with God better if you copy me. Copycat. This doesn't work. Because if you feel connect with God in a liturgical way, quiet, only you and God, it's great. Keep doing that. Because this is how it works for you. This is the way God made you. But if you like and you feel connect with God when you sing and you jump and you are bow your knees, doing that. Forget about people around you. Because it's this way God do in your life. The thing is, it's about your heart. It's about the real motivation in your heart. If it's true God, it's real. If it's real, so it's true. But if it's a lie, it's a lie. It's not worth. If it's only for impress people around you, it's not worship. This is not worth. But it's only if it's true. If it's really what you feel. If it's really what you feel. So, spiritual exercise. Consider the many names God used to reveal himself to us. Which one identify? So just go to his presence in worship. Focus on and responding to God with your whole being. Offer your body as a spiritual act of worship. It's you. Everything in your life is a sacrifice. It's you. Respond God's truth with love and obedience. Regular engage with a worship community. And just find a place. If you like, bow your knee. Just do it. Worship God. And this will help you in your journey to walk day by day in God's presence. We are here to worship God. We're made to worship him. We're created by God to worship him, to serve him. You are not doing this. We will feel that something is missing. And what I invite you is the only way to start this relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. There is not another way. Only through Jesus Christ. When you look back for this chapter 1 to chapter 11, the whole thing that happened, it's because of him, Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ to be connected with God. He is the door. He is the way. He is the God. Let's pray. God, thank you. Praise be your name. We are here to worship you. Thank you, Jesus, because you died for us. Thank you. We love you. We love you. Help us through these disciplines to really develop our worship life. Help us to celebrate your presence. Help us to have a grateful heart. Help us to worship you in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name, amen.